Hello and welcome to the Profitable Practice Podcast with me, Andrea Maxim, naturopathic doctor turned healthpreneur. And every week I'm bringing you no nonsense, no BS, actionable strategies to create a practice that is not only profitable, but fully sustainable by you. If you're an action taker like me and want to create a practice that is profitable, then you've come to the right place. Hello, hello again. It is Andrea with you with another wonderful episode of the Profitable Practice Podcast. And today is one that I think you will really love because more than anything, and where I find practitioners are failing in their business is not creating signature programs. So we hear, you know, personal trainers, they have these big high-end programs. Nutritionists offer what I consider high-end programs. There's limitations as to what we can do as practitioners, but that does not mean that we cannot create a program in our office. And quite honestly, by doing that, you're going to find that your revenues are going to come much easier, your patients are going to be more satisfied, and what we want to do is we want to always think about how we can extend the lifetime properties of each and every patient that walks in our office. Because we know, sure, we're going to address the chief concern first and foremost. We want to make sure that they're feeling better as quickly as possible. But what is the one thing that all patients love more than anything else is some sort of a challenge, a cleanse, a detox, or some form of a program. And this is something that if you do not have in your office, you are leaving, I think, serious money on the table and easy, relatively easy money to acquire as well. And this does not mean that it has to be a four-figure program. I certainly don't offer anything even close to that in my office, but I do find that it eliminates a lot of the guesswork and it also provides structure for not only you and how you are going to interact with your patients, but it also provides structure for what your patient can expect from you for the next 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 6 months, 1 year, you name it. And when it comes to the stalling point where I find a lot of new practitioners start to get worried about is once I achieve that chief concern, what do I do next? How do I get patients on the bandwagon of lifestyle changes, not just quick fixes? Because no matter what, you know your patients are looking for a quick fix. They want to get better yesterday. But once they do start to get better, we don't want them to just fall off the wagon and disappear into the abyss. So that's why I brought on Dr. Summers Cologne, who is a practitioner in the States, and I wanted her to break down exactly how she conducts her in-office program. She does also offer it online, but because it is basically nutrition and consulting based, there's not a lot of medical intervention involved, it is something that you could definitely replicate in your own practice, keeping in mind staying within, of course, our naturopathic regulations. But this is something that once, you know, a patient gets to a certain point and you just want to keep them on a maintenance program, offering some sort of a lifestyle program for, as I said, 12 weeks, 6 months is going to be really valuable at keeping your patients coming into your practice. And then as upsells, you can definitely offer supplements with that or add value to what they receive outside your office. And therefore your time in office will be more valuable. So you can raise your prices a little bit. These are all the things that I want you to think about. And so what I did to make it even easier for you is I put together a download to accompany this particular podcast. And you can download that at maximizedbusiness.ca/office program and download all of these sort of checklist steps, to-dos when it comes to creating your program and how to think about how to monopolize on that and get creative with that and start that up right away. So, for instance, if you've been listening to my podcast, I have put together a 7-day detox program, which is also available on the website, maximizebusiness.ca on the homepage. And you'll just see 7-day detox program right there. And that has been the most profitable program to date, and it has generated the most residual income and return business that I ever anticipated a program would offer in my practice. So it's quite turnkey, and the practitioners that have purchased it themselves are really loving that it's kind of totally done for you. You can get started with this and or use it as a template when you're creating your own program with all the emails, the handouts, everything like that. But for any practitioners that have even gone through FLT, through Metagenics, that is also something that I like to use and manipulate it to my own style and preference. And that is another complete done-for-you program that you can offer in your practice. The whole point is, guys, is you have to be creating a signature program, something that allows you to continue to guide your patients. And they could be developed in such a way where it's very quick, short term, then you could have a medium, sort of medium length program, and then get them into a long term, more of a lifestyle program. So every single step, you're peeling away more layers of the onion and helping get into the deeper, more sort of individualized treatment necessary for each patient. So without further ado, let's get to my interview with Dr. Summers Cologne, and she will break down exactly how she put together her program. I hope you enjoy. Well, welcome, Michelle, to the Profitable Practice Podcast. It is a joy to have you on today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Andrea.
So I'm speaking to Dr. Michelle Summers Cologne. She is a physician, surgeon, Ayurvedic health coach, author, business owner, and overall health and wellness expert. She's known as the holistic podiatrist of Southern California and has been interviewed and quoted in many prominent publications. One of Dr. Michelle's greatest strengths is her ability to combine the best of Western and Eastern medicine to treat the whole patient and create individualized treatment plans, yoga sequences, and meal plans for her clients and patients. She is a successful businesswoman who owns her own podiatry practice and is the co-founder of 34 Minute Shoes and the creator of various coaching programs that focus on health, wellness, and business growth. So, girl, that is a lot that you've done in a short period of time. How has the whole sort of transition been for you from school to now becoming this, kick-ass bad mama jamma lady?
Well, I mean, I've actually been practicing for 19 years, so it doesn't seem like it happened so quickly for me, but yeah, it's definitely been a gradual transition. When I started, I worked for another practice for a couple of years, about 2 to 3 years, and then I went out on my own. So I've been on my own for 16 years. And, my training was in foot and ankle surgery with an emphasis on pediatric surgery. And I pretty much knew right off the bat that that's not what I wanted to focus on. My passion was really working with the community that I was in, which is really concentrated with a lot of diabetic patients. So that's where I started, and it's grown from there. So yeah, a lot of changes have happened over time, for sure.
And what would you say as you're building this practice? Because for me to think being in practice 15 years from now, so kind of meet where you're at, just seems insane. And a lot can happen, a lot of growth can happen. How has it been over the past 2 decades for you, from when you first started to now becoming this sensation in Southern California?
Well, yeah, there were two main things that happened that kind of changed the way I looked at my practice and really shaped it into what it is now. And one was just me going through my own health crisis and my own health journey, which led me to Ayurveda and holistic medicine. And I've now incorporated that into my practice. And the other thing was really just changes in healthcare and me kind of being able to see, into the future, like what was coming up for me. So there were a lot of changes in California where I'm at. And I could see the trends where we were going to be losing a lot of our patients that were on certain insurance plans, and there were a lot of HMOs that were coming into the picture. And so I really started focusing on building a cash-based practice when I saw those things happening, because if I was going to be losing a lot of my insurance patients, I was going to need to bring in other types of patients. And so I started focusing on cash-based services that I could do, like using the laser and doing some more things like that. And I really spent a lot of time talking to my patients and to the community to see like what services did they really want that really wasn't being provided. So I started bringing that kind of stuff into the practice. And then as I was doing that and going through my own health issues, I started incorporating the things that I was learning in Ayurveda and Eastern medicine as other cash-based services that I can bring into my practice. So working with different herbs and supplements and things like that, and really just combining all of that into, what I have now.
Now, is there a particular niche that you market to or that you find gets drawn into your practice?
Well, definitely the diabetic patients. So I get a lot of the diabetic patients just because of the community that I'm in, and because, word of mouth, it spreads. And as we know with diabetes, a lot of times runs in the family. So once I, have one family member, I pretty much end up with the whole family. So that's pretty much the main niche that I have in my practice.
And the reason why I wanted to ask you that is because with a lot of practitioners, I find we want to treat everyone. We don't want to turn anybody away. But you just made a very big statement there in the fact that you're basically targeting one type of patient, and yet that patient then referred their entire family to you. And so it helps to grow your practice. You're not focusing on every single health condition that you could. And how valuable have you found that for marketing yourself? Your website is gorgeous and talking to those exact people. When you kind of get comfortable with that niche that's finding you or that you're intending to find.
Yeah, it's been really, really great because concentrating on one group of patients makes it so much easier for just for everything that you do in your practice, whether it's your marketing, your website, your staff, everything that you kind of stock in-house, and all of the extra supplies that we need, and including things that we can sell to the patients on a cash-based basis. So that's been really good. And it's just really helps, just helps kind of get your name out there into the community that, this is the diabetic specialist in the area. So they kind of, the other doctors kind of know that about us now. And so, they refer all their diabetic patients to us that might not even be coming to their general doctors for foot issues. But once their doctor knows that they're diabetic, when they're a new patient to their practice, right away, they send them over to us to examine their feet, make sure they don't have any foot problems, so that later down the road, if they do have anything, they already have me in their system.
Did it take a long time for you to develop that reputation with other practitioners and other healthcare industries to get that referral system coming into your practice?
It definitely takes a little bit of time being in the community and kind of getting out there and like going to the chamber events and going to the different health fairs that, they have in your own community. When I first started, I wasn't really that excited about, networking because I was kind of new to starting my
Sure.
own business and all that. But once I started doing it and I saw the different, benefits of it, then I was able to really enjoy it. And so I would say maybe a couple of years, maybe 2 to 3 years to really, get that referral base going.
And do you find that there's anything that you would, because I know you do coach other practitioners, is there anything in that realm that you coach new or existing practitioners to help to grow their practice and reputation that you found really worked for you, or things that didn't work for you?
Yeah, one of the things that I make sure that we focus on is what is it that you love? Like, what type of patient or what group of patient do you love working with and that you want to work with? Because, like you mentioned before, trying to be everything to everybody, sometimes in the beginning, people do that because, they want to get as many patients as they can, and that's understandable. But when you really focus on who you really want to work with, whether it's runners, athletes, diabetics, children, whatever it is, when you get that group, you'll sound so much more authentic to them, and that they'll love you so much more because they'll feel it. It's like a feeling, like when they talk about bedside manner, it's not just how you talk to the patient, but it's how they interpret the way your mannerisms and everything else too. So when they know that you really love working with them, they'll feel it and they'll be so much more excited about coming back and sending their friends and family.
And you go quite above and beyond with your clients as well. I mean, you're doing individualized yoga sequences and meal plans for them. And do you find that that's a lot of work? Do you find that it really helps to give them that extra customer service that they're not used to getting from, a holistic podiatrist? Or what would you say? Because that's a lot of extra stuff to do.
Yeah, it is extra work, but I end up spending a lot of time with all of my patients, and so I really feel like I get to know them. And I think that it's so much valuable. It's so valuable to them because they remember how much time we spent with them, how much we went out of our way for them, and that we remember their story when they come in. They're just not just another number. So we do get a lot of comments from our patients that they love coming here, they love the way they're treated when they're here, and that we spend a lot of time with them compared to maybe their primary care doctor who's just, seeing them for maybe 3 minutes. When they see us, we might spend 20 minutes with them. So even though it might not seem like a big difference in time, it really is when you think about it in terms of all of their visits that they've had.
And a lot of our listeners are creating meal plans and things for their patients and keeping time in mind. Do you use any online softwares or online websites to help you create those excuse me, plans that keep it individualized for your clients?
Not so much software, but when we do our intake with our patients, we have them fill out some, questionnaires and surveys and things that really help us get a picture before we even, see them. And so kind of know a little bit where they're at. And then once I get to talk to them and ask them some deeper questions, then it helps me when they come for their next visit, I could have it all ready for them.
So you're just doing it all off of your own sort of feeling with them, knowledge. Are there any templates that you use?
No, I don't have any templates. I just kind of do it as I go.
And with diabetes, I mean, there's so many things that I find a lot of people are way over consuming when it's just simple lifestyle changes that can make such a huge impact. So I think that's awesome. But the biggest thing that I want to ask you, Michelle, is I know you coach a lot of practitioners on something that I find is missing in a lot of our practices, and that is creating either a coaching program or wellness programs in the practice to offer our patients. So describe to me why that is such an important thing you think for practitioners to have to offer.
Yeah, I think it's so valuable because, well, one, you can have a bigger reach. So not only are you going to be able to reach your patients when they're not physically in the office by offering an online or a phone coaching program, but you'll be able to reach, thousands or hundreds of people out there online once you get your program together and you start marketing yourself to the right groups of people. And I mean, we all want to make a difference. We all want to, change the world in one way or another. And I just feel this is the perfect way to just be able to reach more people and get out there. And so that's one thing in terms of like the vision and the mission. But in terms of your bottom line, it's bringing in more cash into your practice, especially when practices are bogged down with so much insurance and paperwork stuff. This could just be another thing to alleviate some of that pressure from you so that you can spend more time outside of the office. You can do this from your home. It's like the perfect adjunct to your practice.
And on your website, it just says that tab, Work With Me, and then you have your three programs. So I almost would consider it like a tier. So you have your three-week program, a 10-week, and a 10-month program. Now, it sounds to me like you offer a lot of these online, but do you also offer them to your in-office patients as well?
Yeah, I do. I have a couple programs for the in-office patients, and we can meet in person or we can meet by phone, as well as the online programs.
So what do you think is kind of, if you were to use me as a coaching client and I want to create an online program, how do you kind of get me started? What is the strategy that you apply to creating these and then, of course, launching them to the online space?
Well, first, obviously, we have to figure out, what it is that you want to coach about, what is your topic that you're going to focus on, and we kind of get that basis, that foundational piece in place, and then we start working on the actual business plan for your coaching program. So it's almost like a separate business, right? Because we're going to be doing most of it as an online program, for example. So there's a whole system that would actually help you get clients in, get leads, learning how to get in front of groups of people to talk or give webinars or somehow get yourself in front of groups of people, and then have those people be interested enough to book a phone call with you to like a sales call, basically. But, so that you can get to talk to them one-on-one after they've met you the first time. That then your lead will call you, you have your one-on-one conversation, and then they'll start enrolling in your program. So that's kind of like the basic business plan for the coaching programs.
Have you found that there's one particular strategy to capture that initial lead that's more successful than others, or a few that you think you should put your most of your energy and time into?
Yeah, what I've found is speaking to groups of people so that they can actually get to see you in person, get that know, like, and trust factor going with you, and then invite them to have a one-on-one call with you, invite them to have a free call with you. They're not used to having doctors offer anything for free. So to have an actual physician tell them, I'm willing to spend an hour or half an hour, whatever, whichever way you decide to go, with you on the phone so we can talk about this. That really is valuable to them.
And then the program itself, what have you found or what have you used to help launch it? Like, for instance, let's just break down your 3-week program. How is that set up online? How is it delivered? How do patients get access to it? Describe all of that because that's really what I think a lot of people are going to want to know.
Yeah. The 3-week program, it's almost like a detox or a boost your health program. And so what I did with that program is I went out into the community and I gave presentations about detoxing, and I, kind of explained to people how, a lot of people hear the word detox and maybe aren't really understanding what it is. So let's break it down. And then I kind of went through the whole program with them in my presentation, like a short version of it, and explain to them, why it's important sometimes to have these short little breaks in what we're normally eating or what we're normally doing. And so I presented them what we would do during the 3 weeks. And then once they hear me speak, I invite them to have a one-on-one call with me to talk about any questions they might have about my presentation or about detoxing in general, or maybe their own health issues to see if this would be the right program for them. And then when I get them on the call, we talk about whatever it is that they, had their questions about. And then I explain to them a little bit more in depth what we would do in the program, including we would have a weekly call for the 3 weeks. And before the 3 weekly calls, we would actually have like a pre-call. So really, it's 4 weeks. And during that first week, we would talk about all the steps that they would take before starting the detox. And then starting on week one, this would be a call where we would have live interaction. There would be questions. If I didn't have any questions in the beginning, I'm prepared to speak to them for, about 30 minutes and then take questions at the end. And we just go through that each week. So they get their 4 weekly calls. And during during that 3 or 4 weeks, we also have a live Facebook group so they can, that's private, so they can ask any questions or post anything in there. And the other thing that they get when they sign up for the program is they get all the recipes that they would consider using during the detox and different instructions for things like doing a flush to kind of flush their system and other little extras that go along with the program. And they'd get like some workbooks to fill out, like a meal plan, a shopping list, that kind of thing. And so they'd get all those things emailed to them. And they'd get all the call-in information for all of the weekly calls. And then we would do all of our calls. And then at the end of the program, I invite them to have another one-on-one call with me so I can get their feedback, see how they've been doing. And it also gives me a lot of good information to revise the program or make it better for next time, or invite them at that point if they want to go further. Now I can invite them into a longer program, like the 10-week program.
And that was actually going to be my next question is, do you then transition them from your 3 week to your 10 week and then hopefully your 10 month? Or are there some people that want to do the big one first? How do you find people transition through your three programs?
Yeah, I definitely transition them like you were saying, but there are some people when you talk to them the first time on the phone that are interested in doing a longer program because they know that they have some major issues they want to work on, or they're not really interested in doing a detox, but they want to start with the coaching. So some people go right into the 10-week program. And other times, when I give my presentation, if I'm not going to be running the 3-week program at that time, sometimes I don't give my presentation about that. And I give my presentation about something else and just lead them right into the 10-week program at that point.
And it sounds to me like it's all using food first. Is that correct? Like food, recipes, lifestyle changes, or do you encourage supplements or other things like to that nature?
No, it's what you said initially. It's using food first.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Which is attainable for a lot of the people that are listening because we aren't able to prescribe or diagnose or anything to patients that can't come into our office. So this is a perfect example of how you can coach people without necessarily stepping outside of your boundaries as a practitioner and still make huge therapeutic impacts with people.
Right.
Now, is there anything else? So basically, it sounds like all of your programs are just weekly calls. Do you offer any other bonuses? Do you offer any extra email support or videos or anything like that?
Yeah. So with the 10-week program, there's a video lesson that goes with each week. And then we do the live call after. So they get that. And with the 10-month program, at the end of the 10-month program, they get a retreat, and that's included in the price, so they don't have anything extra to pay to go on the retreat other than their transportation to get there. So they do get, you know, different bonuses or different things with each of the programs.
And is there anything else either with coaching programs or with your own personal clients that you've been coaching as practitioners that you find really valuable when it comes to growing or scaling a practice?
I think it's just really, you know, being consistent and providing good value, making sure that you provide a lot of free information up front, because a lot of people aren't going to join a program the first time they hear about it. So they might need to see you speak a couple times. So for example, I was invited to this one networking group back in March, and I gave my presentation and I didn't make any sales. No one signed up from that presentation the second time, but I was kind of, you know, just used it as like practicing. So I was
sure.
Fine with that. Right. And then they asked me to come back again. So I knew that they were really interested, obviously, because they asked me to come back again 2 months later. And then the second time I spoke to them, I think out of 15 people in the room, 10 of them signed up for one-on-one calls with me.
Amazing.
And out of the 10, 8 of them signed up for either the 3-week or the 10-week program. So it was really about being consistent. And, you know, that what they say about that know, like, and trust factor is true. Like, people sometimes have to see you a few times before they're going to really be ready to, you know, put their money out there.
And that's a really good point that you made as well, because there's definitely the fear, the trepidation, and when you're putting a program out there. The other statement that I'm going to make here is that people don't necessarily buy what you're selling the first time around, and you have to get comfortable with, you know, it's not a rejection, it's just a not right now type of thing. So how did you kind of work through that personally to not take it personal and keep persevering and keep putting your seminars and presentations out there?
Yeah, well, I knew, you know, the first few times I gave my presentation, I was probably really shaky, you know? So I wasn't really, I guess, expecting a lot of results. It was more for practice. And so the more times I did my presentations, the more I felt more comfortable with it. And as I got more comfortable with doing it, I started making more leads and making more phone calls with people, and I started making more sales. And so it just showed me that, you know, once I felt comfortable, then they would feel more comfortable with me. So that kind of motivated me to keep doing it so that I could get more comfortable. And then along the way, I would make more sales.
Have you found in person to do better for you than doing webinars, let's say, when it comes to converting people to buy?
So far, yes, I've made sales and conversions both ways, but I think when people see you in person, that just gives them like one more thing to put on the plus column for you if they're like making a pro and con, if they should do this or not, because they've seen you and they could like actually feel like you're a real person, you know?
Right. And any sort of learning experiences that you could comment on throughout your entire practice where you're just like, man, that was such I never like to use the term mistake, but that was just something that you definitely learned from, you're not going to repeat again, that you can help with some of the potentially new grads that are listening to the call or people that have been out for 5 or 10 years?
Well, I think the first warning sign that I had that I didn't listen to was when I first finished my residency and I was looking for work. I was offered a couple different positions. And at the time, because I had a lot of student loans to pay off, which I just paid them off a couple
Congrats.
Years ago.
Thanks.
When I first, you know, got those offers, I went with the one that was offering me the most money, because I thought, okay, I can pay my loans down quicker. But I was given a warning by a couple of other doctors in the area that he wasn't really the best person to work for, that they've heard a lot of horror stories from people working for him, and they didn't recommend me working for him. And I should have listened to them and trusted them because I knew them, and I should have went with a different offer. But I went with that one, and yeah, they were right. Pretty much everything they said was true. So I think that if you're the older physicians in your area are giving you advice, definitely take it.
Awesome. And I think that's also something that I try to position as well, is people can talk a big game when they want you to join their practice, and it doesn't necessarily mean that it's much more than lip service, right?
Right.
Yeah. Michelle, is there any words of wisdom you'd like to give anybody who's listening right now? Business building, action taking, anything?
Yeah, there's two things. The first thing is trust your gut. Go with your natural instinct. If you have a practice and you decide that you want to start doing something that's kind of out of the box, and you're not sure what your colleagues or other physicians in the area will think about it, you know, but you feel it in your heart, you know, go for it, because, you know, a lot of awesome things have been created by people thinking outside the box and going after what they know in their heart to be true, and not really listening to what the norm, quote unquote, is for that type of position. And the second thing is, no matter what you do, you're going to get some criticism. So don't hold back on going for your new ideas because you're worried about what other practitioners in the area or in your field are going to say, because again, a lot of awesome creative things have been created by people that didn't worry about what other people said and went for it anyway. So I know that held me back a little bit in the beginning because I was worried, what are my colleagues going to say if I, do all this holistic stuff in my practice? But once I did it, they were actually really, really supportive about it and were saying, can you teach me how to do that?
Of course,
So.
it's always good to be a little bit of a leader, right? And go down a path less traveled. And it's amazing what can come out of it, for sure. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for sharing your insight and helping people that are kind of on the fence with should I create a program? You laid it out so perfectly. It's so easy to put together because there's nothing to put together, right? You're just telling people about it and you're giving more of you time, which is amazing. So anybody who's on the call could literally start this tomorrow. And I love action steps that are like that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was really fun show to be on.
If there is anybody that wants to contact you directly, we will have, of course, your website in the show notes and on the website. But is there any other forms of contact?
Yeah, they can find me on my website or they can email me directly at dr.michelle.cologne@gmail.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Michelle, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too, Andrea.
Well, there you have it, folks. I hope you now realize how easy it can be to implement a signature program in your office. Now, before we finish up today, I want to give a quick sort of tip on a place that I find a lot of people get stuck, and that is we want everything to be perfect before we launch it. And the best analogy I can give is imagine you're standing on a beach and someone is drowning in the water and there's nobody around but you to save that person. And then you're like, oh, wait, but my program isn't done. My brochure isn't done. And then you just let them drown. All your patients want from you is to run out there and save them and help them as quickly as possible. They don't care if your marketing material is created. They don't care if you have every single piece of your program put together perfectly. My suggestion to you is do not hesitate. Start getting your patients enrolled in your ideas immediately. And then make it up on the fly. And you know how accessible I am to you if you have questions or concerns or want to jump on a 30-minute strategy call. And we can kind of get a little bit more in detail and in depth as to what you want to execute and how to do it well. But a great place to start, and this is why I created the download for this podcast, is to go to maximizedbusiness.ca/office. Program, get that download and start to use that as leverage as you're creating your signature program. But please do not let your patients drown while you're trying to get your website finalized, get your landing pages finalized, doing all of that stuff that really patients do not care about. They just want you to save them and help them. As always, if you like this episode or any of the other episodes you've listened to, I love hearing from you either directly or place a review on iTunes because that really does help to get the message across to as many people as possible, spreading the word. This is why I'm doing the podcast. Get in contact with me. Let me know any topics you want to hear about. But I'd really, really love to hear, especially on this topic, how your program is going. Have you initiated it? Where you're getting stuck? And let me be your mentor to help make that happen as soon as possible. I love working with you guys. Thank you so much for continuing to listen to the podcast. I will see you next time.